Good morning, everyone. How are we this morning? How's your week been? Good? Not too good because no one's shouting out at me. That's all right. Yeah, good. Thank you, Paul. This week we are starting, finishing off our soap series. Has everyone gone pretty well with it? Has anyone had something come out of it for you? I know we have as a family, which has been good. Particularly throughout the weeks, we've had different styles of people bringing up this soap idea in the Sunday morning. So I hope that's been helpful to you. And I would encourage you to keep on going with it. Obviously, we're going to stop necessarily focusing on as a whole church on a Sunday morning on this soap idea because it is only simply one way to read the Bible. And so it's a tool for you to use if it helps you to get closer to God and read your Bible so you know what it says for you. As a church, we believe that there's not necessarily any one special person who gets to read the Bible and tell you exactly what it means. We believe that you have that ability too through the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus working in you to be able to find out what it means for you. So we encourage you to do that. And to even, as I might bring up something or someone else bring up something up the front, we encourage you to test that against what your Bible says. We encourage you not to just take our word for it, but find it out for yourself. So, this week, as you can see up on the on the slide, we are going to be talking about peace and gentleness today. I've just realized I don't also have the clicker. that's all right. So we're going to be talking about peace and gentleness. And so in a world that's marked by constant change and uncertainty and even diversity, the call to embody gentleness can often seem like an elusive ideal, something that doesn't really happen. We might talk about it a fair bit, but it doesn't seem to happen very often. So how do we remain gentle when life persists in its challenges? Because life is a challenging thing. So today, as we finish off this soap series, we're going to turn to the wisdom that's found in the chapter 4 of Philippians, where the Apostle Paul offers profound insights on navigating life's trials with grace and steadfastness as well. So Philippians chapter 4 can actually serve as a really good beacon of hope and guidance for people seeking to cultivate not just a gentle strength, but to actually navigate through life's challenges. Paul's words, which were penned from a place of deep faith, were also penned from experience. Which I'll get into in a little bit, he's actually in a lot of trouble as he's writing this. And so we can actually trust in the wisdom of what Paul is saying as someone not just speaking to us, but someone who's living it out. So as we go through chapter 4 today, we'll highlight a couple of different things. One of them will be the transformative power of rejoicing in the Lord always. The significance of demonstrating gentleness, even in the face of adversity, and the peace that God promises us that surpasses understanding. So let's start by breaking down the scripture a little bit. So I'm still going to be following the soap method a little bit and highlighting it that way, but it will look a little bit different to last time I was up here. So before we dive into the specific verses and what they perhaps mean or we can draw from them, it's always good to have some context from where we're reading. And I believe Kay highlighted this at the start, so I might highlight it at the end too to make sure. But Paul is he's writing a letter to the church of Philippi, as we might know. And he's in a bit of trouble, like I said. He's actually imprisoned at the moment. We're not 100% sure where he's imprisoned, but from scholars and smarter people than myself, they believe he was imprisoned in Rome, under house arrest, basically, which was a gentler form of imprisonment at the time, for sure, but it still meant he was very limited and his life was not his own to control. But despite his circumstances, Paul writes with this remarkable joy, gratitude, and affection for the church at Philippi as well, who he considers partners in the gospel, and who he was directly involved with founding this church. Throughout the letter, as we've perhaps seen or noticed over the last couple of weeks, Paul encourages the Philippian believers to stand firm in their faith, to live lives worthy of the gospel, and to maintain unity and humility in their relationships. He addresses specific issues within the church as well, including the importance of unity, the danger of false teaching, and the need for perseverance in the face of persecution. In chapter 4 particularly, Paul's tone shifts to one of exhortation or encouragement and practical instruction in everyday kind of life issues. He urges the believers to rejoice always, emphasizing the importance of joy as a constant attitude, regardless of circumstance. And this call to rejoice is not based on fleeting emotions, but on the unchanging reality of their relationship with God. And so he says, rejoice in the Lord always. He doesn't say just rejoice, but rejoice in the Lord. And he also highlights the virtue of gentleness, instructing believers to let it be evident to all. And in a world marked by harshness and division, particularly back then, but I think it's still true now, gentleness stands out as a powerful testimony to the transformative work of the gospel. It reflects the character of Christ, who is gentle and humble in heart. Paul goes on to address an issue that is common to many, many people. I would say common to everyone at least a couple of times in life, but really hard for a lot of people most days of life. He addresses the issue of anxiety, which is a struggle for many of us. And he encourages believers to bring their concerns to God in prayer, accompanied by thanksgiving. And this act of surrendering worries to God is a tangible expression of trust in his provision and God's sovereignty. The passage then concludes with a promise of peace. A peace that will come into the hearts and minds of believers, serving as a steadfast anchor in the midst of their storms of life. And Paul directs believers to focus their thoughts on things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. A practice that cultivates a mindset of gratitude and positivity, regardless, again, of circumstances. So, as we look at some observations of more specific verses here, I think we need to keep in mind that the broader themes of joy and gentleness and trust are all throughout Philippians, but particularly this chapter that we're looking at today. So, the first observation is Paul starts with a strong emphasis on joy or rejoicing. And he says it like this. He says, I encourage you to rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again, rejoice. And so you know that Paul is a bit of a preacher. He likes to repeat himself a lot because he wants to make sure that he's highlighting for us and for the church he was reading to that this is an important idea. He wants to make sure that we hear it again and again so that we know that this is something that he's really trying to encourage us to do. And in fact, he's trying to highlight it because it's something that's really foundational to the role of the Christian lifestyle, the Christian life. Because joy is not contingent upon favorable circumstances for Paul. Instead, it's rooted in the unchanging reality of his relationship or our relationship with God. It's a deliberate choice to find contentment and delight in God's character and God's promises, regardless of the circumstances. And so in a sense, it sounds a bit like this. Although my situation right now is terrible, I know that God, you are good, and I'm going to praise you for that. It's a deliberate choice of looking at the things that are true about God's character and promises to you, even if it doesn't feel like it's going well at the moment. And I think Paul starts with this rejoicing for a good reason. Because when we're rejoicing, we're content. We're often content with those things around us and what we can control. But when we're not rejoicing, the opposite is true. We're not content. And if we're not content, we're often competing with others, with ourselves, to try and get more. And when we're competing with people, we can't be gentle with them. We're often rough and short with them because they're now an enemy. They're someone that's trying to take something from us or stop us from getting what we want. And so Paul says, no, let's rewire that. Let's change the way you're thinking around that. Let's rejoice in what you have. Let's rejoice in the fact that you've got a relationship with God. And instead of then competing with people, you might have a desire and a goal, but it's filtered through the fact that you're able to rejoice and God loves you. And so he starts with rejoicing, and I think we need to start with rejoicing too if we hope to cultivate this gentleness within ourselves. Then Paul goes on to talk about gentleness, particularly, which is a particularly important thing, I think, these days. As we might want to share with others about God and our lives, gentleness is key to that. I think if you think about the last time someone influenced you to change your mind, not just point out that you were wrong about something factual, but actually change your mind and change your lifestyle about something. I don't know for how many of you, but it's definitely never been the case for me that that person was ever yelling at me or telling me that I was really wrong and being rough about it. I've never changed my mind when someone's been like that to me. However, I've changed my mind plenty of times when people will come alongside me and talk to me gently, explaining why they do certain things their way and how it's helped them. Gentleness is key to sharing about God, but it's also a key way of relating with people that marks us as Christians. And it's something that we need to be able to do. I think part of the problem these days is that we see gentleness as a weakness. And it's not. Gentleness is what I would like to call strength under control. There was a few years ago, I was being led through this this exercise at a retreat type thing that we're doing. And essentially it came to a point where the question was put to me, what do you see in Jesus' character? What is like one of the big highlight things for you? And I had this moment of realization that Jesus is what I called at the time quietly strong. And what I now know is that I realized that I was describing that Jesus is gentle. Jesus is God. He's the King of all, right? So if that is true, I don't know if you believe it, but I definitely do. If that is true, then he has all the strength in the world, strength beyond measure, right? There's no way you could call him weak without him at least limiting himself to a weakness. But he has all this strength, and yet he doesn't force us into anything. It is always a choice for us. He has the entire strength to die on the cross for us, to die for our sins. Yet he still leaves it up to us to make the choice whether to accept that gift. And so there's this gentleness about Jesus that I think is utterly striking and compelling, where he has this huge amount of strength and he'll still get his goals done. He'll still make his way forward. But he invites us along instead of forcing us along that journey with him. And so being gentle isn't just something to aim for because it's something kind and nice to talk about. But being gentle is something to aim for because it's a Christ-like virtue. Paul's instructions regarding anxiety as well deeply resound with many of us, I think. In a fast-paced and uncertain world, anxiety can easily overwhelm us. Yet Paul offers a profound antidote, which is not mere positive thinking or a suppression of your emotions. It's not just to deny that anxiety exists, but it's a transformative practice of prayer and thanksgiving. By bringing our concerns to God in prayer, accompanied by a gratitude for his faithfulness, we experience a profound shift in perspective. We entrust our worries to the one who holds all things in his hands, finding peace in his provision and sovereignty. I've talked about this this research that was done before, but when we actually try and attempt to change our perspective, one of the best ways to do that is by listing out the things that we want to highlight going forward as well. So if you're wanting to highlight things that you can feel secure in or grateful about, if you actually list that out today, you'll start seeing things that you can be secure in and grateful for tomorrow. And the idea of the research was that they've got people to describe themselves as either lucky or unlucky. And they gave them a newspaper and asked them to find out how many I can't remember what it was. I think it was how many headlines was in the newspaper. And so people would start counting. On the third page in, there was a big headline that read, there is, say, 437 headlines in here. And what was found was the people who described themselves as lucky actually read that headline and then stopped on the third page. And the people who said that they were unlucky had to count the whole thing because they'd never noticed it. And so when we actually try and change the way we talk about ourselves and the way we talk about our lives, it changes the way we actually see our lives in the future too. Which is what I think basically Paul is saying here. Choose to look for those things that you can be grateful for. And for those things that you can't be grateful for, recognize that you're not the one in control anyway and give it to the one who is. And so when moments like that come up in the future, it will be habit to go, thank you God for this, but I really need help here. And you constantly in that moment of prayer. And I think that can deeply help a lot of our anxiety. Now, I'm not saying it's going to solve absolutely everything about it. I think there's wonderful things that God does through the work of other people like doctors. So I'm not encouraging you to stop doing that. But I'm saying that this can definitely help too. Finally, we see Paul's promise of God's peace as well in this. Sorry, I've not been... here we go. I've not been keeping up with that. But Paul's promise of God's peace, which is something surpasses human understanding, he says. It's both comforting and it's actually challenging because this idea of peace surpasses human wisdom. It doesn't make much sense to us. And I don't know if you've seen that type of person before where absolutely everything is going wrong and yet they're still able to remain calm and you just go, I don't get it. What's going on in your life? But I think that's the important part about this peace that we're talking about is one, it doesn't actually rely on the things going on around us. So when we have it, it doesn't affect us quite as much when something does go wrong. But the second thing is that people can actually see it. It's an identity marker for us as Christians. That when we have this profound peace that comes only from God, that you can see it. And people around you can see it too. And this peace serves as a guardian almost, protecting our hearts and minds from this onslaught of fear and doubt and worries that you can see if you turn on the news or if you can see if you look around you. And so I would encourage you to go after this idea of peace. And I think part of this chapter of Philippians is almost a pathway, if you wanted it to be, of rejoicing, working on being gentle. And you can keep on going down as you work towards this idea of cultivating peace in your life. What I wanted to say as well is that this pursuit of gentleness and all these different qualities really, which I think are all tied together, is an active journey. It is something that we need to choose and actively go after. It's not just going to fall into your lap and happen. And so I'd encourage you to go after it. I know in my life I can find it hard to be gentle. When I'm worried about something, it's very hard to be gentle. When I'm worried about being late to church, being late anywhere, I can find it hard to be gentle with those around me because I'm worried that they're getting in the way or something like that. When I'm worried that I'm failing at something in my life, I can find it difficult to be gentle in my response to those who are trying to help me by pointing out where I can do better. When I'm worried that I don't know what to do next because something's going on, I can find it difficult to be gentle in the way I lead moving forward. And so I think this connectedness to the idea of anxiety and worry and being gentle. And that if you're finding it hard to be gentle in your life, it may be because you have something that you're really concerned over and you're really worried about. And I would encourage the church to look at your life and see where the stress is in that. Because gentleness is hard to be done when you're under stress. So work on the stress and you can work on the gentleness as well. Lastly, Paul encourages us to think on certain things. And I think it's incredibly important because it's a rewiring of your brain, kind of like I was saying earlier. And I think this list is a better way of me just trying to say, think about being grateful. Because he gives some criteria of what's the type of things you can think about. And so I'd encourage you to seriously consider the way you think, maybe even keeping a thought diary. It's something that you just kind of write down your major thought of the day and see where it leads you and filter it through this. Is it right? Is it good? Is it excellent? Is it noble? Because it's not necessarily going to be all those things. And as you work on trying to make your thoughts, or your main thought at least for the day, more like that, all these things will kind of bring together and slowly shift into place too. Anxiety will probably lessen with this. So what's the application kind of points? What's some of the things that we could do about it? I've got a list of different things or different highlights here of what I would say Paul is kind of pointing out. So we can choose joy in every circumstance. So we can take intentional steps to cultivate joy in our lives, regardless of those external circumstances. We can start each day with a mindset of gratitude by thanking God for the day, focusing on the blessings and the promises of God. And we can practice rejoicing in the Lord always. When something good comes up, we can choose to say, "Thank you, God," just quickly like that, and keep on moving on with our day. Embodying gentleness in our relationships. Evaluate your interactions with others and strive to let your gentleness be known and evident to all. Looking at our relationships can be hard. It can be scary. But it's important. And if you're struggling with that idea of gentleness in your relationships, I'm not sure if you would be. But here are some ways you can help with that. I think the biggest one is pausing before you respond in moments of conflict or frustration. And seek to respond with gentleness, with grace and kindness, choosing to believe that the other person is doing something good instead of something bad when it feels like they're hurting you. Choosing to think they're doing it out of ignorance rather than malice. And then we can model Christ-like gentleness in our words and our actions, reflecting his love to those around you. He loves everyone around you, and you're called to as well. Prayerfully surrender our anxieties. Identify areas of anxiety or worry in your life and bring them to God in prayer. He's in control of everything. And so practice the discipline of casting your cares upon him, trusting in his provision and sovereignty. Cultivating a habit of thanksgiving in your prayer as well. Often we come to God and try and just pray about the things we want, almost like he's a cosmic bellboy just ready and waiting to do what we want. But instead, we can actually thank him for the things that he's done and thank him for things that he's provided for us. And you can just thank God instead of praying about anything you want. In fact, the Lord's Prayer starts with gratitude and thankfulness. And so we can incorporate more of that into our prayer life as well. Experiencing God's peace. Peace is a hard thing because it's hard to do when you're busy. But busyness seems to surround us. But if you want to cultivate peace, you might need to make some space for quietness in your life. And if you're anything like me, that can be hard. I've got 3 kids. I'm also tend to be a very wanting to keep on moving type person all the time, or thinking about certain things. But actually creating quietness in myself can be an effort. But it is something that you need to work on, and something that I've worked on, of creating space. And sometimes all you might get to is creating the space and you can't quite quiet your brain down. And that's okay. Keep on working on it. It is a journey. Mindful focus on positive truths. Like I said earlier, when we're mindfully focusing on those positive things, we'll actually see more positive things in our lives. Not much will actually change, but we'll actually notice them and perceive them a bit more. And Paul's talking about guarding your thoughts. in this moment where he asks you to, you know, focus on something that is right, noble, and all those things. And so we can be intentional about what we allow into our minds. That's both what we're reading, but also what we're watching and things like that, but also what we're actually thinking. If we notice a thought that is out of that list, you can take control of that thought and say, well, I'm only going to let it go that far. Let's stop there and think about something else. Or go get up and do something else is another way that both science and the Bible actually encourage you to do. If you need to take hold of your thoughts, you can get up and go do something. And that can help you as well. Finally, living out the gospel. So putting into practice the teaching of Scripture in our daily lives. And this is what I'm encouraging you to do as well with this application. Find something that you've heard about today and put it into practice tomorrow. Don't just leave it all for a Sunday. Life isn't just on a Sunday, and God isn't just interested in your Sunday. He wants to see your life transformed every day. So, I hope you find something for you specifically. But we'll prayer. We'll have a time of prayer, and then we'll move on into our third song. Dear Lord, we pray for each person gathered here today, myself included, that your Spirit would seal the truths of Philippians inside our hearts. We ask for the strength to choose joy in every circumstance, to embody your gentleness in our relationships, and to surrender our anxieties to you in prayer. We ask for your surpassing peace that it may guard our hearts and minds, anchoring us in your steadfast love and steadfast faithfulness. Help us to fix our thoughts on what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, cultivating a mindset of gratitude and hope. Lord, I ask that you empower us to live out your gospel in our daily lives, to reflect your love and grace to a world that is in desperate need for love and grace. May your presence go with us from this place here on a Sunday, guiding our steps and fulfilling us with your peace every day this week. Lord Jesus, we commit ourselves to you, knowing that you are faithful to complete the work you have begun in us. Lord Jesus, may all glory, honor, and praise be to you, both now and forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, if you could stand as we go into our third song, reflecting on some of the things we've thought about, that would be ideal.